worship you, we honor you, and we adore you. Thank you, Master, and thank you, Adonai. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap as you take your seat in the presence of us. Hallelujah. Welcome everyone here tonight. And we are grateful to God for what He has done for us. To Him be all the praise in Jesus' name. Welcome to the preservation service for the month of November. Communion of escape and oil of preservation. Psalm 105, verse 12, all the way to verse 15. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yeah. He reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. The Lord bless His word in Jesus' name. Speaking tonight on the subject, living in divine preservation. Living in divine preservation. Our objective tonight is to understand how to live in order to live in divine preservation. Understanding how to live in order to live in divine preservation. It is clear from the Word of God that God is interested in the preservation of His people. It is clear through scriptures that it is never the will of God for His people to be cut short before their time. He promised, the number of your days I will fulfill, according to Exodus 23 and in verse 26. But we live in a world of very extreme wickedness. We just heard the story just now of someone just traveling by the road and kidnapped, could have been killed. Question is, how do we live in order to live in divine preservation? How do we live in order to fulfill our days? Please, I want to beg. I have about 10 points to go through tonight, and I want zero distraction of any form of sound. Please. We are in a very, very sensitive world at this time, and also a sensitive season of the year, where the devil tries to do a lot of overtime before the year ends, but he will never locate you or your loved ones. How do we live in order to live in divine preservation? Number one, live with vision on purpose. Live with vision and live on purpose. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18 said, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We saw this extensively on Sunday, and I might not need to go through it too much this evening. But we saw people like Joseph, who was a man of vision. Abraham, who lived by vision. Job, who had a vision for his life, even in the midst of adversity, where he said, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed life, I will wait until my change comes. We saw people like that. People like Paul the Apostle. and they fulfill their days. Now listen to two things. First, vision for life affects duration of life. Vision for life affects duration of life. Second, vision for tomorrow facilitates acceleration into tomorrow. Vision for tomorrow, it facilitates acceleration into tomorrow. If you can see your tomorrow, no devil can kill you in today. Make up your mind not to live your life to chance. When life is left to chance, it has no chance. Don't live your life to chance. Don't live by random motion. Be deliberate in your living. Be deliberate in existence. Be decisive. Be intentional. Let the devil know and let everyone who know you know that you are not here for the short run. You are not here for a sprint, you are here for the marathon. You are here for the long run. Am I speaking to somebody here at all? It doesn't matter how the situation is now. If you can see the ultimate, you can survive the immediate. I have so much to say today, and I'm almost trying to run. A man, please take your seat. A man's father, a man who inherited billions from his father, millions, and inherited it. Father had planes and had things like that. And he was still working as an airplane attendant. He already has money in his account and everything. He has inherited big money. Somebody asked him, why are you still working? He said, I need to work and have a vision in order to live. Money alone can't keep you alive. Wealth don't keep people alive. A vision for the future. What will you do with your life? What will you do if God gives you 50 years, 100 years? That is what should occupy your life. Occupy your mind. How many people's lives are you planning to touch? How many churches are you planning to plant in your days? How many souls, how many crusades are you planning to be involved with? That is what will occupy your mind. The vision of the future is what creates that future. Don't live with a blank mind. A blank mind equals a blank future. An empty heart is an empty future. Whatever you don't see coming will never come. Live with vision. Number two, live in the covenant. In the covenant. Actually, live in covenant. Psalm 41 verse 1 to 3 said, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him. You know, considering the poor is part of the covenant practice. The Lord will keep him alive. He shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. The Lord will make his bed in his sickness. That is, he fell sick. God said, get up. Let me dress the bed. You are not permitted to lie down here. The Lord will make his bed. You go through scriptures to see the people we refer to as covenant fathers. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Job. These people live to be very, very long. They fulfill their days. What is covenant? It is an agreement of commitment between two parties. An agreement of commitment. That is, between you and God, you have an agreement that involves commitment. Lord, I am living for you, I'm not living for myself. Lord, I am serving you, I'm not serving myself. with the life you have given me, this is what I will do with it. You have an agreement and you have a commitment. I have an agreement of commitment with myself and my wife. We are agreed many, many years ago, 29 years ago, and we are committed. You look for her, you are looking for me. You look for me, you are looking for her. She holds nothing back from me. I hold nothing back from her. All my checks are in her possession. She cannot sign it because the signature is mine. But I don't hold it. She holds it. I trust her enough not to sign it and take any money she wants. It's an agreement of commitment. When you and God come to a point where you have an agreement of commitment, anybody looking for you is looking for God. Our challenge is that many of us are just living lives like unbelievers. There is no agreement of anything with God. There is no commitment of anything with God. The only difference between us and worldly people is that we come to church, they don't come to church. That's the only difference. We be a Christian and we carry Bible, they don't carry Bible. There is nothing deeper than that. Come to the point where you and God have depth with each other. Come to the point where you and God, you are intertwined with each other. They know you with God, they know God with you. Come to a point where God knows what to expect from you. Because Paul and interest in so and so place, I know what should be happening there. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say louder amen. Somebody say the Lord must amen. Somebody said the Lord told him to write a check in 90s. Somebody, he doesn't worship here. Worship. And he said, it was very, very easy for him to do. I said, how? He said, there is nothing I have that I own. He said, I didn't expect the money to come. So when it has come, it doesn't belong to me. One other guy told me, when we went to Cameroon Crusade, he paid everything. And he has done that many, many times. The midweek, mid-year conference, he paid all the bills, all the guest artists, where they slept, honorarium, everything was paid. He said, sir, tell God to try me. Let him try me with more. He said, just tell God to try me with more. He said, as it is now, I don't have anything to spend on myself. I have nothing I am looking for to buy. He said, I'm not even on social media. He said, just ask God to try me. Then God will know he has a son. You see, these are the kind of depths people go with God. God told Abraham, give your son. Yes, sir. David said, I won't sleep until I build God the house. It's how to live. There are two things you will never miss when it comes to covenant. One, depth of intimacy with God. Number two, intense depth of sacrifice. Anyone who has a covenant with God, he has an intimate relationship with God, he has agreements with God that is not for people. Number two, he's unusually sacrificial. He's not talking about tithe is kindergarten for him. Whereas others are struggling to pay tithe. He has left the realm of tithe longest time. And when God sees such a person, he says, anybody looking for you, I finish him. He told Abimelech, you are a dead man. You are not about to die. My friend Abraham's wife is the one you just touched. He said, excuse me, sir, I have not even touched him. He said, ask him now to pray for you. You are not about to die, you already died. The only thing you are waiting for is burial. You will fulfill your days. Don't leave yourself. See, most of the unbelievers you see, they have very deep covenants with the devil. Charm, jar, some people they send for them, come to the village, let them cook you. Your own cooking is the word. It is your covenant and your walk with God. Somebody say a loud amen. Two things to know about covenant. First, covenant offers a covering in adversity. It offers a covering in adversity. When you find yourself in seasons of adversity and you are in a covenant walk with God, where you have agreements and commitments to God that you are fulfilling, and you are unusually sacrificial, tithing is just kindergarten. You can go any extent with God when you are at such a point. The covenant offers you covering in adversity. And number two, the covenant compels the commitment of your covenant partner, the Almighty, to your defense. It compels the commitment of your covenant partner, the Almighty, to your defense. It compels. Somebody say loud amen. I have commitment to my children because we have a parental and fatherhood covenant. You look for their trouble, you look for me also. The same way my mother handled everyone who looked for her trouble. One of my children told me one day of somebody that was just troubling and troubling and troubling. I can't say, let's go, show me the person. I won't tell you the balance of the story. Just show me the person. Show me the person. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Live with vision on purpose. Number two, live in covenant. Number three, live in love. Love. Live in love. And this is love for God, love for man. I will tell you about how Joseph loved his brethren until he forgave them. We saw that on Sunday. He lived to be very, very old. I believe that was Genesis chapter 50 and verse 26. How he lived to be 110 years old. Job prayed for those who hurt him. Job chapter 42 and in verse 10. And Job lived to be very, very many years. We don't even know the number of years of Job. Because in Job chapter 42 and in verse 16, you see, after these things, Job lived 140 years. We didn't know how long he lived before that 140 years. John, the apostle of love, lived to a good ripe old age until he died about the age of 120 years. Natural, John, the apostle of love. Psalm 91 verse 14. Psalm 91 verse 14. The Bible said, because he has set his love on me. That's God speaking. Because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he has known my name. Because he has set his love on me. I will deliver him. 1 John chapter 3 verse 14 to 15. 1 John chapter 3 verse 14 to 15. We know that we have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love. Passage from death to life happens at the frequency of love. So if you put love here, if you put love here, and hatred here, living or dying is depending on where you are staying. I heard that we retain more when we see. Come. And you. Two of my very slim uncles. I'm the only one suffering among them in the work of the Lord. All right. If this is the central line, now, both of you are cool, okay? You are good. You know, we went to South Africa some time ago. Two of them were inside the lift with me. And the Bible, and the lift person began to cry out. That the lift was carrying too overload, carrying too many people. Meanwhile, we were less than the number that the lift can carry. But the lift was screaming that is carrying too many people. So when we ask some people to excuse, as soon as they step out, the lift come down. Because there are some people you cannot count once. When you are counting, you say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We went to Accra Ibom for a program, and a man wanted to talk. We're all together with many of us. A man wanted to talk to who is our general overseer among us. He turned his back on me and faced one of our guys. Because how can I be general overseer at this size? I'm sorry for this. I used to have a driver, very, very massive. He used to drive me. Anytime me and him move and we come somewhere, they will look at him and they say, "Good morning, sir." Then they will look at me and say, "How are you?" He will be feeling very bad. I say, "No, you deserve it. Are you not our boss? You are our boss." Praise the Lord. All right, let's go to the serious business now. So, if this is a central line, whether you are passing from life to death or death to life or life to death, whichever one, whether you are passing is depending on where you are standing. If you stand in the realm of hatred, you are excused from life. If you stand in the realm of love, you are excused from death. Anything that wants you to hate, wants you to die. Go back to your seat. That is why the devil purposely send people your way. To irritate and aggravate. And frustrate you onto hatred. When he wants your life. It's a setup. He said we have passed. Place that scripture again. We have passed. We know that we have passed from death unto life. If here is death and here is life, I pass from death when I avoid hatred, and I pass to life when I embrace love. Only God knows how many people hatred had killed. Read verse 15 of the same passage. We have passed from death to life. I say now, verse 15, whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Those of you who find people and all you do is tear them down and gossip. They just pass in front of you. Your heart is filled with venom. God says you are a killer. That is as plain as it is. You don't like people. Or you don't like some people. You hate their face. You hate their God. You hate their appearance. For whatever reason best known to you. He said, you hate the brethren. You are a killer. And as a killer, you are not entitled to life. And no killer, no murderer has life in him. Because he that taketh the sword shall die by the sword. He that diggeth a pit shall fall inside. Don't let anybody recruiting you into malicious gossip. It's recruiting you into murder. Into the lifestyle of killing, of killers. Somebody say a loud amen. Please fulfill your days. Fulfill your days. Fulfill your days. When they bring somebody as a discussion topic, change the topic. Or you move away. Somebody say a loud amen. Is anybody receiving anything from here? I have 10 points and I trust God to finish. Live in love. Two things you will know. One, the flow of love is the flow of life. And that is the life of God. We saw that already. Is the flow of life. Show me a man, a woman, in whose life, in whose heart, love is flowing. I will show you somebody in whose life is flowing. That's 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 8. God is love. So when we flow in love, we are flowing in the life of God. Secondly, the force of love is strong enough to withstand the force of death. The force of love. The Bible said in Songs of Solomon chapter 8 verse 6, it said love is strong as death. The force of love is strong enough to withstand the force of love. The force of death. When you walk in love and death is looking for you, the love you carry will withstand that death and send it to hell. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Forgive your father, forgive your mother, forgive your auntie, forgive your past relationship that did not end in marriage. Forgive your husband that has separated or divorced or whatever. Just forgive them. Just let them go and face your life so you can fulfill the rest of your days. Live in love. Number four, live in service. You shall serve the Lord your God. Exodus 23:25. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Verse 26. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. The number of thy days I will fulfill. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Somebody say a loud amen. The number of thy days I will fulfill. The service of God kept Moses until he was 120. Deuteronomy chapter 34 verse 9. He kept Moses alive. The service of God. The service of God kept Paul the apostle until he became Paul the aged. In Philemon chapter 1 verse 9. The service of God. The service of God kept David until David died in good old age. He was in the service of the Lord. The service of the Lord kept David. 1 Chronicles 29 and in verse 28. He lived unto good old age. There is something about service. Two things I want you to note about service. Service is a covenant that activates divine preservation. It's a covenant that activates divine preservation. A covenant that activates divine preservation. Second, when you are useful to God, you cannot be wasted by hell. To be useful to God makes it impossible to be wasted by the enemy. You can't. Anybody heard of Mary Slessor? Mary Slessor. We read it in social studies and history. She was a missionary, a Presbyterian missionary. She ministered majorly in the south of Nigeria. She was the one that moved for the abolition of the killing of twins. In those days when twins were born, they said they were evil. It's a bad omen. They were killed. Now people are looking for twins. Then twins were killed. And Mary Slessor came and said, no, they won't be killed. That woman was in Africa during her missionary days and was on the bush path one day and ran into a lion. Woman, not a man. Alone by herself. And ran into a lion. But she had so much audacity, she knew who she was. She looked at lion eyeball and said, "Move off." The lion looked and like, "What am I saying? I said in the name of Jesus, move off." The lion sniffed the grass or something and just moved off. And the woman general passed, more powerful than a lion. "You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and the number of your days shall be fulfilled." God knew that there were more newborn babies to be preserved, more twins to be preserved. So she needed her to be alive. So there was no lion that could tear her down. Confirm your usefulness to God, and he will confirm your unwastefulness to the devil. He will confirm to the devil that you are unwasteful. You can't be wasted. Find out what God wants you to do with your life and do it in his kingdom. Don't sit in the church as an executive Christian. You can be a vice chancellor and be a toilet cleaner in church. You can be a billionaire, 9-figure billionaire, and be in the evangelism department. Am I communicating at all here? And be the head of evangelism. Beloved brothers and sisters, it is time. Since the hunters are shooting without missing, the birds should be flying without perching. Everything you need to do, do so that the devil does not get you. The devil does not catch you. Donate yourself and donate your life in kingdom service. "Lord, am I doing what you want me to do? Lord, is there more you want me to do that I'm not yet doing? Show it to me." Live in service. And no devil can waste you before your time. Service is a covenant and it provokes preservation. Number five. Is that number five? Live in faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 and in verse 4. "The just shall live by his faith." Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 16. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Live in faith. Live in faith. Live in faith. What does it mean? Catch the light from the word. Light regarding your preservation. And walk in that light. Act in that light. Function in that light. Just catch the light. "No man taketh my life from me," Jesus said. "And as my Father sent me, I sent you." No devil will be able to say at the end of his miserable demonic life that he took my life or took your life. No devil. No man. You should catch the light and walk in the light. Believe the light. Act in the light. Function in the light. Speak on the basis of the light. Am I communicating? I've told you this before, but you may need to remember. This is what faith is all about. Are you ready? Number one, revelation. Plus number two, conviction. You got the revelation from the word of God. That revelation convinced you. Number one, revelation plus conviction. Number three, declaration. We having the same spirit of faith, we believe, so we have spoken. So, you saw it from the word of God. You believed it like fire. You declare it with audacity. No devil can waste me. You act it. By operating fearlessly, you celebrate it in praise. By the time you have revelation, combine it with conviction, plus declaration, plus action plus appreciation and celebration, it equals manifestation. The outcome is not contestable. So when we say live by faith, it begins with what you saw. By listening to a message like this, or messages in that realm, and holding fast that word, and declaring it with audacity. Somebody say amen. Look at your neighbor, say live in faith. Say to somebody, say, have you seen the light? Walk in that light. Somebody say amen. And no matter how dark the darkness is, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Take note of two things concerning faith. All right, we saw Abraham was our father of faith. He lived very long. Job, if a man dies, I'll live again. Job chapter 14, verse 14. All the days of my appointed time, I will await till my change comes. Who else? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The God whom we serve is able to deliver us and the will. But if not, Daniel chapter 3 and in verse 16, we will not bow. God will deliver us, but we will not bow. Listen to this. Two things. One, faith activates the forces of divine life. It activates the force of divine life. Because the just live by faith. When you begin to walk in faith, you have triggered life. You have turned on the tap of life. Second, faith switches on power. Faith is the switch of power. The woman with the issue of blood touched and power flowed is the switch of power. And power is the guarantee of victory. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Somebody say amen. One thing that your faith must achieve is that your faith must kill your fear. What I say? What did I say? What have I said? Your faith must kill. Faith cannot be called faith until fear is dead. The birth of faith is the death of fear. Because fear is a magnet of evil. Now, somebody says, so if I have faith, I won't fear at all. Oh no, fear will come once in a while. One thing or the other will cause fear to arise. But this is how to handle fear. It's like a fly that is trying to fly around your head. You try to remove it, it doesn't remove, right? But just keep trying, okay? The fear may hang around. The only thing that must not be allowed is for the fly to perch and live in the air. The only thing that must not be allowed is for the fear to arrive and settle. It's coming around you, bounce it back to hell. And in dealing with fear, you need courage. And what is courage? Courage is motion despite fear. Fear is trying to stop your motion, but you are telling fear, you are too small to stop me. I am in motion. I am moving. I am moving. And you know what? Your fear is afraid when you are not afraid. Hey! Hey! Your fear begins to fear you when you refuse to fear your fear. Because it doesn't know what is behind you. He doesn't know what you are working with. Your fear begins to fear you when you don't fear your fear. I've seen bigger animals run for smaller ones before. See a small boy put his two hands in his pocket and say, I'll kill you now. Small boy, 5 years old. I kill you now. You will look again. And he said, look, see, you think I'm so, I'll kill you now. If you don't know the God we know, see, I won't answer yourself. Fear is already in you, just be moving. See, I don't know what is behind this, but maybe it's a little physical devil. He said, this must be a physical demon. Am I communicating at all? That's how life is. First time I went to Kenya, I told you, the tour guide, as we're inside the vehicle, the tour vehicle, you know, the tour vehicle is like a cage. That's the difference between a zoo and the wildlife park. Zoo, the animal are in cage. Wildlife park, you are the one inside cage. Right? You are inside the cage and we are moving. Lions moving everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Leopards everywhere, tigers. Then we came to one place. He said, we can come down. But this place is safe. The place was full of baboons. Now we can come down here. I said, hey. You know, I am a man of faith. But faith is not license for foolishness or stupidity. You say we should come down here. There are lions everywhere. All right, we come down. But if lion appears suddenly, what do we do? You know what he told you? It will shock you. He said, keep still. Behave like nothing came. Yes. He said, just behave like there is nothing. He said, either you lie flat on the ground or you stand still. Just. He said, he will come and pass. He said, but when you fidget a little, he realizes that you are a prey. And if you dare begin to run, he is after you. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Just refuse to fear the fear, and the fear will begin to fear yourself. So the summary is, at the peak of your faith, ensure that fear is under control. Say it another way. The objective of your faith is the arrest of fear. The arrest of fear. Because Job said, the thing I feared came on me. My time is up. Let me add another few minutes and see. Hallelujah. Somebody get anything here, say amen. I have five more to go. Can I quickly rush on them? I also have the option of breaking and continuing next week. Number 6. Live in sensitivity. Live in sensitivity. Live in sensitivity. I might stop there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 11. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Proverbs 22 and in verse 3. Very important. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple, ignorant, insensitive, undiscerning man just passes on and he is damaged. Live in sensitivity means live in discernment. Live in sensitivity. Live in discernment. My people are destroyed. Not because the devil was too powerful. But my people are destroyed according to Hosea. For lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. Lack of knowledge, there is lack of insight, lack of information, lack of revelation, lack of discernment, lack of sensitivity. Remember David? David was the man who came to the land of Keilah. When, I believe it was the Philistines that were troubling them. He came and delivered them from their hands. In 1 Samuel chapter 23 from verse 1. And they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Then David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite the Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, behold, we'll be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. You will be shocked what happens next. He has saved this land. Suddenly Saul is looking for him in Keilah. Move on. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that has gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah, to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? If it is us, there is no need for question. What is the need for such question? These are the people I just defended. I delivered their city from the enemy. No doubt they will rally around me. They will surround me. They will finish Saul. They will tell me where Saul is coming from. You will be shocked. Verse 11. David had enough sensitivity. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up? These people that I just risked my life to save. Will they deliver me into his hand? Will Saul, in fact, number one, will Saul come? As thy servant has heard. Oh Lord God of Israel, I beg you, tell your servant. And the Lord say, he will come. Don't deceive yourself. He is coming. The one who wants to kill you is on his way. Question number two. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you. They will hand you over to Saul. Hey. See life, oh. What you are seeing in this world today, it didn't start today, oh. The person you fight for team up with your enemy to kill you, to resist you, to bury your destiny. The same person you laid down your life for. Somebody you are helping is hurting you. Somebody you are raising is trying to erase you. Somebody you risked yourself to stand as shorty implicated you. Somebody you stuck your head out for is telling everybody he doesn't know you. He has no dealings with you. That is how life is. So don't be too disappointed. Whatever you are seeing now happen in the Bible. God said, Saul is coming. And these people that you save now will hand you over to Saul. Child. David told his people, oh boss, make we they go. make we come they go. Now waka we come, waka come bad place. Bad people. Like one of my classmates used to say, guys are bad. Any day you say, guys are bad. I don't know what they did to him, but guys are bad. Guys are bad. So we call him, guys are bad. Are you following what I'm saying? Bad guys. That was how David would have died for nothing. If he trusted in the fickle commitment of humanity, unreliability of the human race. You have a battle. You have a battle. Here you are under the mandate of God to help people. Yet the people you are helping are trying to hurt you. And this internet communication, it has not helped matters. Guys are bad. Very, 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 very bad. Too bad, too wicked. The wickedness of our generation. That is why you must be sensitive. I read something in John chapter 2. Can you give me verse 24, 25? Go back to verse 23, 22. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem, at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name. Ah, we believe you. Ah, you are. There is nobody as powerful as you are. We have seen prophets before, but not your type. When they saw the miracles which he did. Verse 24. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any man should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Because it was the people who say, hail him, that also say, nail him, nail him. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Somebody sat in the middle of his friend. This one is unbeliever. Drinking at alcoholic joint. They were sitting, drinking at alcoholic joint. Somebody had dropped something from his finger into his alcohol. By the time the other stood up, he was remaining seated. It was dead body they came and carried from there. Those are people he thought were his friends. We are together, enjoying and rocking life together. The other day, my wife showed me the clip of a woman who was pouring bleach into her husband's tea. She was pouring the bleach, pouring into the coffee maker. Yes, he was pouring what would kill the man. When she was apprehended, Oyibo woman, CCTV apprehended her. She was eyeing what she will inherit if the man dies. Insurance and everything. She was charged to court for homicide. Prison. Sensitivity. Don't overrelax yourself for the devil. Am I speaking to somebody here at all? But you will fulfill your days. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loud voice, say amen. Assumption can bring destruction. Take your seat. Assumption will bring destruction. Assumption brought destruction to many people. David would have died for nothing if he believed that the people of Keilah will shield him. On the other hand, Paul the apostle had intelligence. He had intelligence. Intel. By one prophet, Agabus. A spiritual intelligence officer who carried Paul's cloth, and he used it and tied his hand. In Acts chapter 21 verse 11, he tied Paul's hand. He tied his own hand. And when he was coming to us, he took Paul's garment, that's Agabus, and bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this ghetto and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Paul the Apostle, you want to go to Jerusalem? This is what will happen to you. Philip's daughters prophesy. Everybody prophesy. Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go to Jerusalem. You know what he said? I am not only ready to go to Jerusalem. I am ready to suffer for the sake of Christ. You know what happened to Paul? Allah, 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 Allah. You know, body hears more than ears. When the ear refuses to hear, skin will hear. You don't know that. When you tell a little child, that metal is hot, don't take your leg there, the ear won't hear. When the leg touches it, it will hear. And then you begin to eye you as if you are the one who put the metal. As if you are the one who put the metal there. You begin to eye you and quarrel with you. What the ear could not hear, the body heard. You know what happened to Paul? Paul suffered untold. At a point they told Paul to scrape his head, he agreed. He scraped his head. That you are in Jerusalem, you should follow the custom of the Jews. Paul, that was a celebrity among the Gentile world where he was sent. The light that they laid down for him, almost worship Paul. He was a vagabond to the Jews. When they saw him in Jerusalem, they started crying, help people, help people. This is the man that is teaching everybody not to abandon the law. Help, help, help. Like they were calling for a criminal. They surrounded Paul, almost tore him apart, until the high priest carried, the chief captain carried him and put him in prison. That he wanted to find out, why are they crying against him like that? Then about 40-something people, 40 people bound themselves with an oath that they won't drink water until they kill him. That they must kill Paul. They won't eat food, they won't drink water until they kill Paul. But they swear, they tied themselves to an oath. While they were discussing, Paul's sister's son, his nephew, overheard them and came and told Paul. He said, Uncle, you are dead, though. You are dead. I don't know how you are going to escape this death. But 40 people have bound themselves that after, until they kill you, no food. Paul said, shh, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Don't. The same person who said he went to die, he saw death now, he doesn't want to die. He said, shh, don't tell anybody. Please, carry this boy to the captain. Tell him, tell the captain what you heard. Are you hearing me? Please, please. That was how they went and told the captain. The captain organized cavalrymen, infantrymen in the night and horsemen to carry Paul and run with him. They ran tearless with Paul in the night. Dodged to somewhere. Whisk came out of. What Paul suffered, you see, he didn't hear when they were telling him. His body began to hear it. What was this what was the name of this Herod's man? He said, Paul, I feel like being like you. Paul said, yes, I wish you are like me, except for this chain, this prison that I am in. Festus. Except for this, it's good to be like me, but not with these chains. That was Paul. And the man didn't remove the chain. When he went to the sea suffered him. 274 people on the ship. The ship scattered by the storm. Scattered, everybody. Say, anybody, anyhow you can escape, escape. Some were swimming on top of broken pieces of wood, including Paul.
By the time he came out of there, they were doing firewood. Viper held his hand. Only him. To work is to see. You hear what I'm saying? He suffered. See, no matter how spiritual you are, please never be above counsel. Never be above counsel. That was what Paul suffered for lack of sensitivity. I will be ending here tonight, and I'll continue next midweek. If we do preservation service twice for this Ember month, November, December, it is worth it. Because the devil is a bastard. Very, very bastardic devil. I hear what I'm saying here today. Take note of this and let us end there. Two things. One, Satan gains advantage when we are ignorant of his devices. Satan gains advantage when man is ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Let Satan gain advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. If there is any prayer somebody here will pray, Lord, please let me not be ignorant. Anything the devil wants to use to destroy my life, let me see it. If it is a wrong family foundation, if it is an ancestral altar, if it is a generational altar, anything the devil wants to pass through, if it's an unbroken covenant, whatever the devil wants to use to destroy me, to take advantage of my life, please let me not be ignorant of it. Am I communicating? I am saying this because there are many people wasted before their time. And at times you trace and you begin to realize very wicked family background. Very wicked, where nobody there survives. To be a Christian is impossible. Those are things that must be confronted head on and killed in your life. Some terrible evil foundations. Some making contributions onto things they know nothing about. Money is used to fight their lives and destinies. Satan gains advantage of us when we are ignorant of his devices. Tonight, God will reveal something to you. And secondly, sensitivity is the antidote to calamity. Sensitivity is the cure, is the answer to calamity. When you are sensitive in the spirit and you know this is what the devil is planning to do, or this is what the devil is trying to do, and you know it already, then you can tackle the adversity. And you tackle the adversity with the point number 7, which I'll deal with, continue from next Sunday, next midweek, which is living in prayer. You cannot be lazy in prayer and fulfill your destiny. Living in prayer. We'll start from there next Sunday, next midweek service. Stand up on your feet, everybody. I am not in doubt that somebody was blessed today. And in case you are that person that was blessed today, you will stand up and shout the loudest, amen. You stand up on your feet and shout the loudest, amen. A louder shout of amen. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Did anybody receive something today? How many of you received something today? If you are asked to tell what you received, are you able to say something? Alright, start from number 1. How do I live? In order to live in preservation, number 1, live with vision on purpose. Don't live your life to chance. Let something particularly be the reason why you're on earth. Number 2, live in covenant, an agreement with commitment, where you are intimate with God and unusually sacrificial. There's nothing that is between you and God, and nothing you cannot give when necessary. And three, live in love. Love for God, love for man. Love is strong enough to counter the force of death. Number four, live. One of the ways to handle hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness is the giving of gifts to people who are not deserving. Somebody wanted to tear Archbishop Benson Idahosa to pieces in the days of his life. Pieces. And he's a pastor too in those days, in the same city. Archbishop called him one day and presented to him a very powerful car. The man said, "Oh, well done, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, sir. That is, I hate you and this is what you are doing for me. No more hatred of you." Love. Whatever will make your heart to calm concerning people, do it. For the sake of yourself first. Because you love your neighbor as yourself. And then, live in love. Number four, live in service. Don't be in church and do nothing. Number five, live in faith. Number six, live in sensitivity. Lift up your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship. Give him the supreme. Give him the honor. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. Elion, thank you. El Gibor, thank you. Father, we worship you. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands and pray after me and say, Father.
Father.
I come before you today.
I come before you today.
I receive the grace.
I receive the grace.
And I come before you today.
I come before you today.
To thank you.
To thank you.
To honor you.
To honor you.
To adore you.
To adore you.
For your word.
For your word.
To me.
To me.
Today.
Today.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive the grace.
I receive the grace.
To live with vision.
To live with vision.
And on purpose.
And on purpose.
I receive the grace.
I receive the grace.
To live.
To live.
In the covenant.
In the covenant.
I receive the grace.
I receive the grace.
To live in love.
To live in love.
I receive the grace.
I receive the grace.
To live in service.
To live in service.
I receive the grace.
I receive the grace.
To live in faith.
To live in faith.
I receive the grace.
I receive the grace.
To be sensitive.
To be sensitive.
Father,
Father,
show me.
Show me.
The things.
The things.
I need to see.
I need to see.
I need to know.
I need to know.
Uncover.
Uncover.
The agenda.
The agenda.
Of the enemy.
Of the enemy.
To me.
To me.
The time.
The time.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
Not to over-relax
my life
for the devil.
In the name of Jesus,
open my eyes,
open
my understanding
to see
and to know
the time,
the plans of the enemy,
and to know
what you want me to know
for the preservation
of my life and destiny.
In the name of Jesus,
open your mouth and pray.
Jesus' precious name. Lift up your two hands and say after me and say, Father.
Father.
I come before you today.
I
ask for your help
and your mercy.
In any area
that I may have offended.
Anything in my life that the enemy may have used or tried to use to access my life. I ask for mercy. I ask for forgiveness. Give me the grace to live free. To live above the agenda of hell. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray right now. Jesus, lift your two hands here everywhere you are. Anyone here tonight and everywhere in all our locations connected, in need of surrender to Jesus, you need your sins forgiven. You need Jesus to be Lord over your life. You want today to mark a new day for you. I'd like you to pray this prayer with me and mean it from your heart. And say after me, Lord Jesus. Say it louder. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Say it louder. I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life, Lord. Make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. Today I go forward ever and backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.